Thursday, 24 March, 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks for tuning into the Calvary Hour. I trust the Lord is blessing you real good today. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. This broadcast is a ministry sponsored by the Calvary Baptist Church in New Bern, North Carolina. We're in Ezekiel chapter 8 and Revelation chapter 3. You say, well, how in the world are you tying those two scriptures together? Well, in Ezekiel chapter 8, God will bring Ezekiel back from Babylon to Jerusalem to show him why he had to go far off from his people, why Israel had to go into captivity. And then in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, we have the letters to the seven churches, and we find the problems that develop in the New Testament church, but we also find great victories as well. For instance, two of these churches, the church at Smyrna and the church at Philadelphia, were not rebuked by the Lord because they had been faithful. Did that mean that they were perfect? No, not in any sense of the word. But they had not done those things that they had to be rebuked for. Now, these were actual seven letters to seven churches, but I believe each one of these churches represents a segment of the church age being defined from Pentecost, when the church was activated, to the rapture of the church, when we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We're right now looking at the church age of Philadelphia. The last one will be the Laodicean church age, where I believe we're living right now. But looking at the wonderful, wonderful truths that God gives to the church at Philadelphia, and let me say that the problems and potential that you begin with the church at Ephesus and go through these seven churches, I believe that they're not just unique to that particular period. I believe that they accumulate over a period of time. You add to the church at Ephesus, and then you come down to the church at Smyrna, and then the church at Pergamos, and then the church at Thyatira, and then the church at Sardis, and now the church at Philadelphia. Father, do bless us now with thy precious word, and we'll thank thee for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And we're looking at this statement that the angel that was given to the angel, the messenger of the church in Philadelphia, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath a key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. And on the last broadcast, we shared with you an illustration or so of God opening doors and closing doors. And before we leave this section is so precious to me because I have found out that not only is it important that we go through the doors that God opens, but also that we wait for him to open the door, and certainly that we not delay when he does open the door. Our esteemed associate pastor, Brother Dwight Williams, he has a statement that he makes quite often. And he said, if you believe that God is late, then you're in too big a hurry. If you believe that God is too early, then we're dragging behind. We're not keeping up with the Lord. Well, let's get on with this. Thank God that our Lord Jesus Christ has the key of David, and he opens doors that no man can close, and he closes doors that no man can open. Now, in verse 8, he makes this statement. What a sobering statement this is. I know thy works. I know thy works. And do you know that God knows everything about us? The psalmist tells us he knows about our down-sitting and uprising. He knows what's going on when we're awake. He knows what's going on when we're asleep. And God knows not only what we do, but he knows why we do what we do. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we are told that all of our works are divided into two categories. One, gold, silver, and precious stones. And the other is hay, wood, and stubble. Now the gold, silver, and precious stones will withstand the fires of judgment, but the hay, wood, and stubble will be burned. Now, dear friend, whatever we do, not only should we go through the doors that God opens and wait for him to open the doors, but whatever we do, we need to have the right attitude for doing whatever it is. If not, then, dear friend, we will lose our reward. Now, I'm not speaking about working to go to heaven. I think if you've been listening to this broadcast any length of time, you know that we know and we believe the absolute truth. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But the Bible goes on to say, "But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 through 10. And so we are not working to be saved. We know Jesus Christ paid the complete price. Hallelujah. Our business is to repent of our sins. Jesus said, "This is the work. This is the work you should do. You believe on him that sent me." And that's our responsibility, to repent and believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has done the work, dear friend, but he also keeps a record of our works. You see, one day, every one of us are going to stand. When I say every one of us, right now I'm addressing Christians, okay? Every one of us are going to stand before the Bema Seat of Christ, the Judgment Seat of Christ. And we're going to give an account for that which we have done, whether it was good or bad. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, but I'll tell you how I feel about it. If it was left up to me, I would be satisfied just to bypass the Bema Seat. But, dear friend, I will not bypass the Bema Seat, and you will not bypass the Bema Seat, but we'll all stand before a holy God, and we as Christian people will give an account for that which we have done, whether it be good or bad. That is not to determine whether we go to heaven or not. That's not determined the number of rooms in our mansion in heaven. That is the matter to determine the rewards or a lack of rewards that God has for those who love him and who serve him. I remember hearing old Dr. John R. Rice. He's long since been with the Lord now. He was the editor of the Sword of the Lord for years. And he said when he got to heaven, and by the way, he's been there for some time, but he said when he got to heaven, he said, Gabriel will walk him through heaven one day. And he said they'll be walking down the streets of heaven, through the warehouses of heaven. And he'll look up and see all of these nice packages up on the shelves up there. And he said, "I'll say, Gabe, what's in those packages and who were they for?" And he'll say, "Well, John, they were for you, but you just did not prevail in prayer, and therefore they were left on the shelves." Oh my. The Bible makes it clear that we have not because we ask not and, of course, do not trust him for our blessings. Well, dear friend, thank God we will not only see our wrong works burn, but we'll be blessed for those that are right. And by the way, there will be crowns that will be given at the Bema Seat of Christ. There are seven different crowns. And those crowns will not be for any Christian to wear around heaven, but I believe they'll be used to cast at the feet of Jesus Christ to honor him. Let me just read to you in chapter 4 and verses 9 through 11. "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Well, back again to chapter 3, and this sovereign statement in verse 8, "I know thy works." Heavenly Father, O God, help us that our works will be right in obedience to thee and for the right motive. Please, Lord, use us for thy honor and thy glory. What a privilege it is to labor in thy vineyard, to be a part of thy family, and to serve thee. In Jesus' precious name, amen. It's been good to be with you for another day of broadcasting. My heart's desire is that God will use each of us to be a channel of his blessing. And may we respond rightly to the admonition, "Work, for the night is coming when man can work no more." Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. The entrance of it truly giveth life. Lord, use us today for thy honor and thy glory, and bless these who make it possible, Lord, for us to get the gospel out across the airwaves and the internet. In Jesus' name, amen. Please join us next broadcast if you can.